Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast. And so my hope for this, we're doing this on a Monday, is this sets the tone for the week for somebody else. Maybe you, maybe I can help push you to do something that you don't really want to do but need to do. And what I'm getting at here is when you, you know, physically feel like something is not right, and it doesn't matter what your age is. You can be 20, 30, you know, you can be, I guess if you're 50 and 60, you probably need to pay attention to your body even more because it's aging. But when something doesn't feel right, actually go get it checked out because
you know your body better than anybody.
Exactly. Right. Right. And so so that's exactly what I've done. I over the years, I haven't had any major cardio issues, but they definitely run in the family. Mm-hmm. And being type 1 diabetic, when you know when I was diagnosed, my doctor told me a long time ago, tight control is something that you want to maintain, because if you don't, you're going to accelerate cardiovascular disease as early as my 30s if it would have, you know, if I didn't have tight control. So I've been really diligent about this, you know. And that includes the 25 years ago, whatever, when my doctor, you know, said, okay, you're going to take a statin for cholesterol, which is what those drugs are for. You're going to take a little low blood pressure. You're going to take a blood pressure, whatever. I didn't have any blood pressure issues, but that was like to protect kidneys and a baby aspirin every day. They know these. That's what my doctor always kind of called the holy trinity of, you know, diabetic prevention for type 1s, you know, in just your maintenance plan.
So, and the all-important insulin.
Well,
number one.
Yes. Yeah, you can't live without
can't
the insulin.
Can't live without it.
Not, so that's true. I'm so used to taking it, I don't even think about
not
that.
Not a type 1. Yes, you can't live without it.
That's correct. But, I mean, I guess to me that's so regular and a part of my life. I don't forget to take insulin. I do know. You know, you've got to be mindful of the other stuff. But anyway, random scan. My dad died of lung cancer 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, I'm not a hypochondriac, but I want to know some things in advance. And lung disease scares me anyway because I smoked as a teenager I probably smoked for 12 or 15 years. Sam, you remember that.
Yeah.
But I quit 25 years ago. It's been a long time ago. But even when you do that, that dose or whatever, carcinogenic dose, they say, can show itself later in life. Kind of like...
Because you've done that to your body.
Correct.
You did it. You know,
right.
Even the body can repair itself and does repair itself constantly, you know, right. But based on how you start to live today, you still did that damage.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, skin cancer. All the stuff that you did when you were a kid doesn't show up until you're in your, you know, 60s or 70s, as my parents. I'm not dealt with that, but my parents did. But anyway, that's so for me, I just went in for just a screening. I figured at some point that's something that I'm going to do over the years. I've taken x-rays and so forth. Actually had doctors recommending that. It's like, look, you're not at a high risk or so, but we should check this because that's the kind of cancer that you want to catch early.
Lung.
Yeah. And so I went and had what they call a low dose radiation CT scan, which is sort of a newer technology that's done with a CAT scan over the last 5 years to scan my lungs. Good news is nothing. I mean, everything is fine, crystal clear.
Your lungs are gone?
Right. all is good. But one of the notations, and the only reason I caught this is it was in the notes of my follow-up. You know, it's, you know, screening, you know, negative, blah, blah, blah. All this looks good. But, you know, it did say severely calcified coronary arteries. And
he reads the fine print.
I do.
He found that.
Well, the doctor should be reading that, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And so he did. And I called my pulmonologist, you know, because you call a lung doctor when you have a heart question, right? Now, he was the one that actually did the. And I said, look, before I overreact to this, you know, this on this scan.
Because I already am, sort of. Right, yeah. I'm picking on you. Keep
and
going.
His answer back, and he's a great doctor. He said, look, this kind of stuff can be inconclusive, you know, false positives. It's not always, this is not designed to be a cardiac scan. This is a pulmonary scan.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's fairly common to see that. But if it's something you should ask your cardiologist about. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So, so I did. And the explanation that I got was really surprising to me because, you know, I am a medicine kind of geek. I like to know what I'm taking. I like to know what it does. I like to know what it's called, as Jody knows.
He can speak it like a pharmacist. Yeah. He can tell you the generic name of stuff and the real name and the manufacturer. He could work on the set of Grey's Anatomy.
Right. Wow.
So I went to the cardiologist, and but you know, I'm going to get the I do an annual stress test anyway, just to make sure. My mom died of a very sudden heart attack young. Mm-hmm. That's a preventative thing. You know, I'm younger than that would be necessary, probably, but again, I'd rather know because I'm type 1 diabetic.
Right.
They actually want to treat me like I'm 15 years older than I actually am because of that, and they always have. So I'm going to do the stress echo today. Last time I did it a year ago, I passed it with flying colors. In fact, you look at it, you said, wow, you went 12 minutes. Most people don't make it to 6, and I'm in reasonably good shape. Now, if he'd have seen me get off the treadmill after that 12 minutes, he probably would have had a different impression.
I've never done one of those. So is it you start walking and then you pick up the pace, or you just start?
It sounds stressful to me.
No, what they do is they start you walking, and it's a gradual increase in both speed and incline.
Ah, okay.
And they're going to take you as far as you can possibly go until you say stop, because they want your and I don't remember what the rate is. They want your heart beating at 140 beats a minute or something like that. Or
they want your heart stressed.
Yes, that's why it's called an echo stress test. Exactly.
That's the part. It's like, incline, fine. You know, fast, fine. But if I'm supposed to push it to the absolute limit, I've never done one.
Yeah.
It just sounds crazy to me. But well, I know you need to do it.
Yeah. So I've done it a couple of times and, you know, not a big deal. But the reason I was concerned was the calcified thing that showed up in that screening. And then when Jody and I were going to the airport a week ago and catching, you know, we were in that we were behind a car accident, missed our first flight, racing to get to the, you know, from the garage.
We tried not to miss it.
No stress whatsoever.
No. But I was running, and again, I'm physically fit. January, I started right back at it. I'm treadmilling 3 times a week. I'm working out, you know, all the core work, strength training 2 times a week. So I'm capable of doing that. But as I ran towards the escalator and I finally got there, I wasn't quite winded, but it felt a little bit heavier than it should have in my chest. It was a very weird, not painful, but just a sensation enough to make me go, and in the back of my head, well, you know, you had pictures taken. But anyway, so that sped me up. And so that's why I'm saying just go ahead and go. I don't know what the test is going to show today. And look, I hope it shows nothing. And, you know, technology is such now that the doctors aren't going to recommend the most invasive things. They won't recommend the most expensive things. There's a process that they'll take you through. And so if you have a genuine fear of going to the doctor, or if you've been blessed enough, like Jody, I mean, you still don't take any medicine. You take supplements.
I take one. I take the supplements I'm supposed to now. Vitamin D and calcium.
Right.
I take one little thing at night when I remember for the little headache things.
Oh, that's right.
I have.
But that's it.
That's it.
Your blood pressure is perfect. You have your cholesterol, no problem. I mean, Jody doesn't take any medicine for anything. And so most people who don't go to the doctor regularly, I think, have a reservation. Since I've been type 1, I guess I don't think twice about it anymore. Yeah. It doesn't scare me. It is what it needs to be. It always feels like the right thing to do. So, but one thing that he was explaining to me about the calcified part is this is weird. So statin drugs are designed to lower your cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what they do, apparently, is, I'll explain this the way he explained it to me because it's not really terribly scientific. There are basically 2 types of plaque in your arteries. And all of us have it, by the way.
You've got it.
You can have a heart attack in your 30s, you know, if a piece of plaque breaks, you know, breaks loose. But
don't tell Sam this.
Well, but if you're, you know, it's the loose, he called it young plaque that's not calcified, that actually winds up being the most immediately dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
The calcified plaque is not great for you. It eventually causes blockage, but it's less likely to break off, which is what causes the heart attack.
So you got break off or you know, clog.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But the clog can be dealt with.
Yeah.
And so it actually, in his terms, it's like it's the trade-off, and they're just finding this out, I guess, because there's, you know, some of these drugs are only a couple of decades old. So I didn't really know what to make of that. I mean, I think it kind of gave me some comfort, but it does show you that the, you know, prescription drugs have a benefit and they all have some kind of side effect. They all have some sort of, you know,
So the statin is leading to the calcified.
Well, so he can't. He's not saying that definitely. He said that statins can do that, and they're seeing that it's more common now because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's body is different. Your genetic makeup is different. You know, sometimes you can have all of these things and have them all treated, but your genes are going to work against you. It's just what happens. You know,
it's true.
And then some people live to be 100 years old. They outlive their mind. You know, and they're you know, like my dad. When the autopsy was done on my dad, his arteries were only 10% blocked. He was 77 years old.
Wow.
You know, no blockage. And supposedly heart disease runs in the family, and it did, you know, on my mom's side, it definitely does, but you know, not his. But anyway,
his dad died of a heart attack though.
Yes.
Your grandfather.
Yeah. My grandfather had, you know, and I'm not going to pronounce it, you know, it's not arterial sclerosis. It's pronounced differently, but it's basically blockage.
Mm-hmm.
But that was in the 70s, and he did not like what he thought could be the outcome of the surgeries, and he didn't want the surgery, so he elected not to
it
do that.
It was recommended to him, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, he wanted to try to do it by natural, you know, means. And that was why my grandmother was mad at him for so many. I never understood that initially. I was very young when he died.
It was part of her grief process to be mad at him.
Because
for
she
not
thought
doing that.
That he, you know,
could have taken care of it.
Right, he could have. So anyway, but I'm going into this optimistically, but it just jumped out at me that the treatment for something has unintended side effects, and it's all designed to help you, you know, live longer, but there's nothing that's perfect.
No.
You know,
no. I mean, you see that on those commercials they run.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's 10 seconds of the benefit and then 50 seconds of may cause this, may cause that, may cause.
But you notice they're smiling the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, right? Hey, wow, I got calcified arteries. Right. Awesome.
You're going to be in the bathroom for the next 8 hours, but does it feel good to be playing baseball again.
So are you going to try to, are you got a goal today, or, you know, are you going to try and beat 12 minutes, or are you just going along for the run?
He kind of threw down a challenge to me, you know what? Maybe I need to, I don't know. Look, going more than 12 on that, it's tough. It's not designed for you to do a half hour on, because the longer you go, the faster it moves,
right.
And the incline is what really puts, once that incline starts to kick up, that's where you start to become winded really, you know, really fast. But they don't want you running forever on it. They want to get that heart rate up fast, measure what they need to measure, because
and
that's what's
really, down.
Right, that's putting the heart under stress, is the sudden change in everything. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
A question, how do they measure it? They put little things on your body, or is it a strap that's around?
That's a good question. Yeah, it is. It's electrodes, and you kind of wear the mechanics, the electrical part, like a belt almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes everywhere my hair is, and so as I know.
And that's a lot of places.
All over the chest, you know what I mean?
Very hairy.
Everywhere.
Right. They know that I'm done with the test because you hear, ow!
Do you get to take it off yourself, or do you have somebody help?
Oh, no, I always have them take it off.
Are they usually quick?
Yeah, they're great.
Quick is how
they
do
it all at once. They just grab them all and go.
No, they don't do that.
One at a time.
But the faster thing is, if you're trying to do it yourself, for some reason, in your head, you can't rip off fast. You know what I mean?
Oh, I can.
When they do it, you know.
You get to wear a mask, too? Like for breathing?
No.
They don't measure that? Oh, okay.
No. They're,
get to wear a mask.
This is it's a cardio stress test, so they're only measuring, you know, how things are pumping through the different, you know, arteries, so that the electrodes are all over you.
Yeah.
And I actually remembered this time to bring shorts and a shirt.
Thank God.
The very first time I did one, I went after work, and I was in like a dress shirt and jeans, and they looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, so can I just do this in a T-shirt that I'm under? You know, it's,
yeah.
But I
did
it in jeans the first time. Yeah, that was not fun.
So are you fasting to get ready? Is this one of those?
No, no.
Oh, cool.
You probably don't. You probably pass out if you fast for it.
He wants to eat
You walk
first.
In, you show up, and they really want it to be real life. What would you – I'm just – That's the way
that's the way
your heart would be stressed anyway, right? Exactly. Is any
to
given moment.
Walk up a mountain fast.
Right, exactly. So yeah, no fasting. Just, you know, go in and do my thing. And this will be the fourth time that I've done it. So, you know, wish me luck. Oh, and so if I there's a pass or fail situation here. If I pass, we're good to go. He might do one other little scan that's sort of a CAT scan just as a double check.
But
if I fail, they go straight to doing heart cath.
Yeah.
Which they're not a big fan of. And I've had that done before.
Yeah,
it's not really
scary.
Bad.
I don't like it.
But it does have its risk to it. So they don't want to do that unless they absolutely have to. That technology has come far enough now where they don't have to be invasive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that is if if they do heart caths.
The heart cath is kind of invasive.
Oh, absolutely.
It's okay. Well,
yeah,
okay.
It's totally invasive. That's why they don't. That's why they don't want to do that if they
first,
don't have to.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So.
Super invasive.
Well, you said you go straight to the catheter. Does that mean like today you could be doing that? Or
oh no, that's scheduled.
I mean, it would have to be an emergency. I guess if they saw something that they were really worried about, like serious blockage or an abnormality, yes, they would be. That's how. But that would be classified as an emergency. I think when he says fail, he just means he doesn't like the way that it.
If he doesn't like the way it looks.
Looks right, exactly. So
all right.
But anyway, I'll keep you posted. But anyway, bottom line, you know, is these things don't always sound like fun. Just, you know, if you have an inkling that something's not right, just go and act on it. Trust yourself.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam & Jody podcast.